In the vast plain of the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been.
World missions was on God's mind from the beginning.
We talk of the second coming. Half the world has never heard of the first.
Some wish to live within the sound of the chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell.
I have but one candle of life to burn. I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light.
The command has been to go, but we have stayed in body, gifts, prayer, and influence.
You can give without loving. You cannot love without giving.
Let my heart be broken with the things that break God's heart. The mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity.
Would that God would make hell so real to us that we cannot rest, heaven so real that we must have men there.
Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear Him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their Father's house and bid their brothers and sisters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell Him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish His mercy to the world.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Here am I. Send me.
Very good. It is so good to have Rajan up here. I don't know if you had an opportunity yet to meet Rajan. Typically, here at MC3, when we have a missionary, we'll have them come up right before the sermon. We don't let them preach, but special people we let preach. And Rajan is extremely special. In fact, we don't really consider him a missionary so much as he's a minister of Mount Carmel. And man, is he knocking things out of the park in India. And I'm going to tell you, I never told you this, Rajan, but when I think about Mount Carmel and about what the Lord has for our future, my hope would be it would be similar to what you've been able to do in India, in churches all over the place. Rajan has been in ministry. Him and Randy have been in ministry for 45 years, been married for 45 years, yeah. And started life together, started ministry together. Now it's with, and I'm assuming you started with just one church, and now it's there's 73 churches that have been birthed through their ministry in India. And what an incredible guy, what an incredible heart, and it is more than just, when we think of missions, it is more than just churches. They minister to the community through hospitals, through elderly homes, through, what else am I missing?
Bible translation.
Bible translation. So
girls' home.
What's that?
Girls' home.
Girls' homes. And so it is ministry on, I'm going to say on steroids, right? And so what I want to do typical fashion is I want to pray for Rajan, and I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let the Lord and him speak to us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to have Rajan and Rennie here with us. Father, I thank you for all that you have done through him and through Rennie and through all the ministers, Father, even sending ministers back to the States here to launch a church in New York. Father, how incredible is that? I thank you, Lord God, for what you've been able to do through Rajan and through all of our brothers and sisters in India. Father, I pray your continued blessings over him and his family. Father, I pray that you would just keep him strong and strengthened. Lord, as it says in Scripture that Moses had the strength of his youth, I pray you give Rajan the strength of his youth that he might be able to birth even more churches and see more churches be able to flourish, Lord God, in India. But Father, we thank you that he is with us today, and Lord, we pray that you would speak through him as he speaks to us. We thank you for him and for just a great and incredible person that he is. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here, and all the good things that Art talked about KCM and my family and my ministry, I'm honored. At the same time, I'm humbled. Because when I look back at Mount Carmel, I was baptized in the old Mount Carmel, by which I mean at the Rainbow Drive congregation. And I was ordained there and sent back to India in 1977. And this is just a trailer of the full movie that you will be watching after or along with lunch. So this is just to give you a taste. The full meal will be there. So I hope you will be having lunch with us and sharing some time about the ministry that we do for the glory of God in Kerala. Now all of this are just grace. It is simply God's grace and his planning. You know, I came to this country with the great hope of becoming a hotel manager to study hospitality management in Georgia State University. But God has a much better plan for my life. And today, when I look back, I see and experience that God's plans are always better than our plans. It may not always be easy. It may not always be a joy. But all through the good and bad events of life, God takes his glory if we surrender our lives to him. So once again, thank you, Art, for the good things you said. And I will have to try to live up to that from now on. Now, COVID has affected all of mankind in many ways. And one of the things that I have noticed with the people back in India, I don't know about you guys here, because this is the first time I'm coming here after the COVID. It is that people have become sluggish and lazy. Especially churches seem to have lost their enthusiasm and priority for evangelism. We talk about COVID and pre-COVID and post-COVID. We used to talk about AD and BC. Now all that has changed. What was it pre-COVID? What is it post-COVID? That's how we even talk. So things have changed. You know, in the Christian viewpoint, there are only two kinds of people. Those who are in Christ and those who are outside Christ. Now, there are people with different color, people with different features, and we try to segregate all these in human viewpoints. But in a Christian viewpoint, There are only two kinds. Those who are in Christ are called Christians. And they are all missionaries. I said, I'm not a missionary. I went back to my own people. So I'm just a preacher. But I'm known as a missionary because I come from another country. But you guys are missionaries, is what I'm going to tell you. You are missionary because you're a Christian. Every Christian is a missionary, whether we realize it or not. And everybody who is not in Christ is a mission field. If there is anybody sitting here who is not a Christian, he is a mission field for the rest of you to work on. You have a mission field right here, right around you. You don't have to come to India to evangelize all of us. Well, we welcome you, but it's not necessary. But you have a field right here to do. Because you are a missionary, wherever you are, because you are a Christian. It seems that we Christians have forgotten our status and our calling. Now, what is our status? According to the New Testament, all of us Christians are royal and priesthood. Peter calls ourselves a royal priesthood. Let us turn to that scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. See, we Christians are just one race. We may come from the Asian or the African or the American or the European. We classify all kinds of stuff. But there's only one race. And as Christians, we are chosen. That's our qualification. We are a chosen race and a royal priesthood. We are kings. My name in India, Rajan, means king. And I kind of act like a king too. It is not because, you know, of ego or pride. God made me a king. So why should I act any less? See, we should know our value, who we are. We are royal. And we are a priesthood. Then comes a holy nation, a people for his own possession. God owns us. He bought us. So we belong to him. And there is a duty that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now that's our calling. This calling, you don't have to wait for a supernatural calling to come to you. The moment you are baptized and your sins are washed away, the Holy Spirit came into you. Now you are anointed right there. You don't have to wait for another season for an extraordinary anointment on you. You are called, you are anointed, you are on duty. You have a job to do. And that is why we have to be a missionary, whether you are in the United States or China or Africa or India. You are called to speak for your Savior. So in the Old Testament, we see four lepers. And let me bring to you their context, what they were doing and where they were. This thing is described in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 to 10. I'm not going to read that because all the time allotted for me is 30 minutes. And in 30 minutes, you can read all these scriptures and enlighten you about all these things. But the Holy Spirit is there, so he will do that for me. It's his job. I'm just an instrument. So this is what the scripture says. It says these four lepers. They were in a city called Samaria. And the city was sieged by the Syrians. I come from a Syrian Orthodox background. The Syrians are not all that good people in those days, before they became Christians. They were attacking the Samaritans, and they were the Samaritan city was under siege. Everybody was starving. No food, water sources were blocked, and everybody was suffering. So these lepers were smart people. They had leprosy, but nothing wrong with their brain. They were smart people. They thought, okay, we are going to die anyway. Let us go to the Syrians and ask them for some food. Let us eat and die. Now, they may kill us, that's fine, but at least we can eat and die. I think they were smart. I would do the same. Rather than die starving. So these four lepers went into the camp. To their surprise, there was nobody in the camp. The whole camp was deserted. And they saw gold, silver, jewelry, and lots of food everywhere in the camp. Now, what would be their first reaction? If you and I were there, we were hungry for several days, we would eat. That's what they did. They ate to their full. Suddenly, after all the food went in there, their brain started working again. They thought, oh, we are not doing right. And what was wrong in their doing? We don't see anything wrong in their doing. They just found food. They took all the gold and the silver and the jewelry they can. Nothing wrong with that. But there was something wrong. Listen to them, what they said. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. Note those words in the Old Testament. Good news. We talk about good news in the New Testament a lot. But here the lepers, to them, the food and all those wealth is, or at that time it was, good news. Now, listen to what they said. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, again, note there, the urgency is there. Let us not wait till the dawn. Let's go just now. They continue. Now, therefore, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell to the king's household. Now, I want you to get that urgency in these people. They just had their food, they were happy, but immediately they thought, my people back there are not happy. There are other people there, the king is there. We should go and tell him the good news. This is the same urgency that God wants you and I to have, those who enjoy the salvation. Now all of us sitting here, I would say, 99% of the people sitting here have tasted and enjoyed and are enjoying the salvation. Amen? Amen? If that is true, the same urgency must come to our life. We must go and tell those who are just like us. They're starving. Let us go and tell them. Now, Jesus, when he talked to his disciples, they were all fishermen, at least most of them were. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. That's what they did. That's what every Christian ought to be doing these days. Andrew was a fisherman. He brought Peter, his brother. Peter was a fisherman. He brought 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost to the church, to the Lord. I was not a fisherman. I was a hotelier. Joni Grimm, a lady from this country, from Decatur, came to India in the early 70s. She shared the gospel with me. She brought me to Christ while I was in India. She shared the gospel. I became a Christian after coming here. That is again in the full movie you will listen to. It's a very funny story. But I don't have time to go into that right now. Now the point is, this one lady shared the gospel with me in a restaurant while I was serving her and she was eating. Very unnatural place to share the gospel. How can you share the gospel when the food is so tasty, smells so good? It's very difficult, but that lady did that. Because of that, today, close to 7,000 people are breaking bread in the different parts of India. That is fishing for men. One person taking the gospel to others and they are multiplying by discipleship. They're taking the gospel to their own people. That is what God expects from us to do. And there is an urgency here. Now, why is this urgent? First of all, this is urgent because it's a command from above. You know, Jesus is a commander. He is a commander-in-chief of the Christian army. When the commander says go, you go. You don't question back a command from your commander-in-chief. This is urgent. You just think about a commander coming and asking you to go into battle. You're saying, my boot is not polished. I'm going to tie my shoes. I have to take my weapon. No, you don't have any time for that. You just run. You ought to be ready for the command to be obeyed. Now, how many of us are ready? We take it so easy, especially after COVID. People are afraid to even come out. There's nothing wrong in wearing masks. In India, you cannot go out without wearing mask. Your country is a free country, so you don't do that here. That's fine. But that's okay. But you don't have to be scared of this thing. This is a time for us to go boldly and share the gospel. Because our commander said go. In Amos chapter 3 verse 8, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? See, that prophet felt like God, the lion is roaring and the whole jungle or the forest is trembling. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And he has roared, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But are we listening to that? Are we obeying that? We are scared of so many things. We have so many excuses. We have become lazy. You know, God has appointed us as watchmen to warn the people. The enemy is coming. The sword is coming. You ought to be on your toe. You ought to be ready to go and fight. This is our role as a Christian. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 6 to 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just enough to let you know what is there. It's on the screen. It says, but if the watchman sees the sword, that means the watchman knows that the enemy is coming because he can see from far, and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and take any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. How many people's blood are on your hand? Just examine your life. You have neighbors. You have children who may not be saved. You have people at your work or school, wherever you go. There are people who are outside of Christ. They are your mission field. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you warning them? But nowadays, you know, it's so difficult in your culture to warn people. Even my tone is not accepted in your culture now, because people may say I'm shouting. That will be offensive to some people. But I'll shout and I'll go. That doesn't matter to me, because I'm shouting for the Lord. And I think, now your culture, no problem. You go according to that, but tell the truth to the people. You can say that in a soft voice, fine. That's up to you. But we are to tell them, the enemy is here. We have to be prepared to fight. We have to warn them what is going to happen. Secondly, there's an urgency because of the urge from within. See, I became a Christian because Joni Grimm shared the gospel with me. You all became Christians because somebody shared the gospel with you. So someone took the pain and the time and the energy to seek out to you. Someone cared enough for you to share the gospel. Don't you think you have to do the same thing? How many of us have that urge from within? We are all so comfortable. We come to enjoy a service. What about feeling guilty about not doing what we ought to be doing? I think all the prophets did that. They made people guilty. Don't think that I'm enjoying making you feeling guilty. No, I'm guilty myself. But we have to do something about this. We must have an urge from within. And some of you may say, I don't care. You see, in this generation, the problem is everybody will be having their mobile phone and will be doing this all the time. They won't even talk to each other. They just text all the time. People do not even know how to talk now because they are so much addicted to this stuff. It has so many good things in it, but there are some negatives to it. And we say, I don't care. Something that I find in the modern generation, even in India, because they are following you guys, because of all these gadgets, they know what is happening here or anywhere in the world immediately. So what they do is, they just care, mind their own business. Why should we poke into somebody else's business? Let's mind our own business. There was a guy like that in the Old Testament. Adam's son Cain. God asked Cain, where's your brother? How do I know? Am I my brother's keeper? This is the attitude of modern generation all over the world today. Am I my brother's keeper? And I don't know where he is. Actually, this guy has killed him. And God knows. This is the attitude that most people are having today when it comes to evangelism. We don't want to confront people. This Joni Grimm, she came and confronted me, and she even made me angry, offended me. She said, you are not a real Christian. I didn't like that. Would you like somebody to come and tell you, you are not a real Christian? That's what that lady did. Because that lady did that, today about 7,000 people can go to heaven. So it's okay offending people when it comes to the gospel. That's what I'm saying. Let's be bold, because we are speaking for God, and do it in a nice way, no problem. But you need to offend people in order to get their attention sometimes. See, some rocks can be blasted only with dynamite. I was that kind of a rock. It needed that offending talk to break me. so that the gospel could enter. And so, God is looking for people like you and me to stand in the gap or breach. Some translations have breach. To stand in the gap and plead for people who are dying. God is looking for people, and you are that person that God is looking today. Let's look at the scripture, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 13. And I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall and stand in the gap or in the breach before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. In those days, God did not find anyone. But that should not be the case today. God is looking at MC3 or Mount Carmel Christian Church. God is looking at you, and He is asking, will you stand in the breach for this perishing world? You have a community around you. There are many people who may claim to be Christians, but they are not Christians. Jesus is not in them. Will you stand in the gap and pray? There's a Tuesday prayer group here. Will you be on your knees praying for the people in this community? You're doing that already, I know. But what about every member of this church? Will you be willing to surrender to the Lord and be a person who will stand in the gap? Will you? Will you? Silence. You don't have to stand up and say, I will. But you can say in your heart, Lord, I will. From this day, I will stand in the gap for those people whom I know have not accepted you. Will you do that? You know, Paul understood the importance of this. And this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read the last portion of that. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. See, he felt that urgency. He's saying, woe to me. I must go and share this. Just like those lepers. Let us have this feeling. Let us go and share this good news. And thirdly, there is an urgency because each human soul is more valuable than the whole universe. See, there are many people in this generation, especially when we get old. I said we because I'm right there. I'm 70 years old. You may not think that is old because I know there are people 90 plus coming to the church and sitting in the pew here. I praise God for them. When there are so many young people who can come by themselves without anybody's help, they are sleeping at home. These people are here. But that old age, we can get depressed. We can get the feeling that I don't have any value. I'm useless. Many people could feel that way. But let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you are valuable. Now, how do you decide how much a thing is cost or what is the value of something? You go to a shop and the man will say so much price, and you are willing to pay that price to buy that. That is the value of that thing. You buy a house. What's the value? What you pay for that? What is your value? God paid with the blood of His own Son. That's your value. Whether you are 90, 95, or 100, or whether you are 15 or 50, you have a value. That is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that value is more than the value of the whole universe. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great feeling? There may not be anybody to recognize that value, but God has already recognized it and bought you as His own. Please be confident in who you are. We are valuable to God. And so in Matthew 16, 26, Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" That's a tragedy. Many people are after wealth and money. There are many people after prosperity gospel also. The problem with prosperity gospel is that it's all focused on this world. Whereas the true gospel that this church preaches, it is what you have when you leave this place. It is focusing on eternity. That is the true gospel which preaches the narrow way. Not the prosperity that people are presenting to you so that you'll be happy here. Everything is fine here. No, that is not the true gospel. So you are valuable. God has purchased you. And if your friend, your neighbor, your classmate, not as Christian, that person's value is being lost. It's your duty to be a watchman, to stand in the gap and tell that person, you can be saved. You are valuable to God. Will you do that? And number four, there is an urgency because those in Hades are crying out for evangelism. Can you believe this? Those in Hades, you know where Hades is. It used to be Hades and paradise in the same area. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus and ascension, paradise is taken up with Jesus, and where he is, it's a paradise there. But Hades is still down here. And souls are in torment without a body. They'll get a body when Jesus comes. And you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16, 27 onwards. There the rich man can see, he could see Lazarus in paradise because those two places were close by. There was a gap, but they could see each other. And the rich man, he is pleading with Abraham. He's saying, please send Lazarus to the earth because the world is still going on. This is not after judgment. His brothers are here living. He is saying, please tell them they should not come to this place of torment. Now, this guy had a whole lifetime of luxury and prosperity. But he did not care. But now he is mission-minded. He is an evangelism enthusiast, but in the wrong place. That's useless. Many people will become mission-minded when they get there. But that is useless. You ought to do it right here when you can. So this is your opportunity. This church in this location is new, right? It's an old church. 100 years was some years back. But in this locality, in this community, it's new. So you go and tell the people. Be mission enthusiasts. This doesn't mean that you should not care about the foreign missions at all. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. There are people in different parts of the world who need to hear. Now, you people are having luxury here because every corner there are 10 or 15 churches. So you have it plenty here. But still there are people out there. So go and tell them. While you are still living, do it, my brethren, is my exhortation for you. Now, some people think that condemnation, hell, these are an old style of preaching. Now, whether it is old style or new style, it's biblical. Okay? This is hell, fire, and brimstone. That is the terminology that old preachers, they're old-style preachers. Modern preachers are very reluctant to say all these things, it seems, because they don't want to offend people. Now, Art, you don't offend people. I will offend and go. So that should be okay. Let us turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. This is very important. So let us listen closely and prayerfully. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now note that he is coming from heaven with his angels. Many people think he is going to come from heaven with the souls of the departed. Now that's a totally different thing. That's gathering from the four corners of the earth. This is, he is coming with his angels, mighty angels. Now how is he coming? In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance. Oh, these words are so hard. Now, you cannot say that in public here. But even in India, you cannot say all these things nowadays. Some people will file a suit against you. This guy is threatening us. This guy is coercing us. But this is a fact. This is what the scripture says. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who, two kinds of people, those who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel. There are many people who know God, especially in this country. Everybody has heard about God and Jesus. But there's another kind within that group. They know God, but they have not obeyed Jesus. These two kinds of people will suffer, is what the Bible says. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. And what is eternal destruction? Being away from the presence of the Lord and away from the glory of his might. That is punishment. Death is actually a separation. Right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, death is simply a separation. Your existence is still there. You can be dead and living. Many people who are outside of Jesus are dead in sin, but they're living. They're very active. Now, the final death will be total separation from the glory of God. This is a threatening statement. And in order to break some hard rock, use this dynamite. Don't be hesitant. They may not like it. They may be offended, but this is the gospel. This is what the Bible says. And finally, there's an urgency because the doors are being closed every day. The doors in India are being closed quickly. Five states in India have a law called anti-conversion law. By that it means you cannot convert anybody by coercion or by force. There's so many interpretations for that. I'm not going into that. But why go to India? Right in this country. Isn't your doors closed? In the schools? I was talking to a preacher. He was a chaplain. He is a chaplain. He goes to different hospitals. But he cannot invite anybody to the church. I was shocked. In a Christian country founded, you have on your dollar notes, you have what? We trust in God. Do you really? A guy from India has to come here and ask you, do you really do that? You have to examine your own heart. Do you, when you take a dollar note, do people really, they use this thing every day, do they really believe that? Doors are being closed in this country. Doors are being closed in all over the world. And I will explain that in the, this is again the, just the, what is that, trailer? The rest is coming. What is happening in India about being doors closed? So finally, my time is up, 2 minutes over. So this is what Jesus said in John 9:4. We must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Isn't that true today? The darkness is already here. Will you use the little light that you are given? to share the gospel. And I'm going to conclude with one statement. You are either a missionary or you are a mission field. What are you? Here's an opportunity for you to make a decision. If you are still a mission field, if you are outside of Christ this morning, here is an opportunity for you today to come and accept Jesus and obey him. Remember, those who do not obey the gospel are the ones who will be there in burning fire. So you might have heard, you might have believed. You see, in the Garden of Eden, Adam's wife, what was her name? Eve listened to the false gospel or sermon. Nothing wrong happened to her. Eve believed the wrong faith. Nothing wrong happened to her. When Eve obeyed what she believed, then she had to get out of that place. Same thing is required to get in. People here, everybody is happy. They go home. Oh, nice sermon. What a fantastic praise service. They go home. No use. People have faith. Oh, yes. I believe everything that pastor said there. No use. Unless you obey. So let this day be the day of obedience. Thank you for being here. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne with humble hearts. Your gospel is proclaimed. The commission is reminded. Now it is up to these people and the Holy Spirit to urge them to make a decision to go out and be missionaries wherever God places them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
For listening. Just 5 minutes over. Please forgive. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Absolutely. Faith is doing what God says. And we've been challenged to do what God says. For some of us, that challenge is to go and begin to speak the message of the gospel to the people around us. And how we do that is between you and the Lord, right? The Holy Spirit gives you an opportunity to know how to speak to those that are around you. For some of you, that may be that, man, I've never made that decision for Christ. And so right now we're getting ready for communion, and there's a lot of things that happen during communion. It's not just communion, although communion is incredible, but there's a lot of things that happen here. But one is that if you need to know who Jesus is, then myself, and I don't know if G's here, he may be up making sure that the lunch is getting ready, but I'll be right down front. If you need to ask questions, if you need someone to pray with you, I'll be right here in order to make that happen. If you have a prayer request that you need to make and you want to make sure that you pray for, then you may notice over here on our cross, there's a bunch of nails. Roger, what we do is there are nails at the tables over here at the side, and there are markers. You just write a prayer request on there and drop it over there. Some of you have put people that you're praying for to know Christ on here. Maybe you need to begin to put more and more people on those nails, and you need to make sure you put them on the cross. For some of you, maybe there are some answered prayers that you went, I need to go get my nail, wherever it's at, right? I need to get my nail, and I'm going to drop it right here in this jar. One of the most beautiful sounds is to hear the clinking of a nail go in here, because it reminds us that God answers prayers. That God answers prayers. That when we pray, God does answer. Sometimes he doesn't answer right away, but he does answer our prayers. And so it is incredible to hear that. And so today, as you come forward to take communion, you got some options. Maybe even today you decide, you know what? I don't even care if I get wet and drive home. I'm going to get baptized today. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to baptize Jimmy's granddaughters. And right there. And I forgot my gear that I was going to baptize them. I had shorts and a t-shirt, but I forgot the actual stuff I was going to use. And so we just got in and baptized them. I don't know about you, but I did not melt on my way home, right? And I was okay being wet to get home. And so maybe for some of you, you don't need to walk out of here, because you know when you do, when you walk out, you're going to change your mind somewhere along the way. But maybe today you just need to make sure you plant your flag and say, today, I don't care. I'm going to eat lunch, I'm going to get wet, and I'm going to receive Christ, and I'm going to follow Him. And so maybe that's what you need to do today. You know, communion reminds us exactly of what Christ has done for us. How much, as Rajan says, God loves us and cares for us. And so we're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This is a cup, is a new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" And then Paul adds these words in verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You know, in some ways, when we take communion, we are proclaiming, we're preaching. We're reminding one another of the good news of Jesus, how Jesus stepped into our world, loved us more than anyone. You know, I've got two boys, and I love them. Man, I love them. And I pray for them all the time. And I praise God, they're followers of Jesus, but I pray for them all the time. But I also have to remind myself, and I maybe remind God a little bit too, not that He needs reminding, that God loves them and cares for them way more than I do. How do I know that? It's because He sent His one and only Son to die for them. And so today, as you come and as you partake of communion, be reminded of how valuable you are to God, how much He loves you and cares for you, that He's willing to die for you and for me. How can we not, in some ways, as baptism shows us, how can we not be lowered into the watery grave and be raised up into the newness of life? How can we not also die to ourselves and be raised in the newness of life? So I'll be down front. If you need to pray, there are tables on the side for you to pray. You're welcome to kneel and pray or stand and pray. If you need someone to pray with you, G and I will be up here to do that. If you need to know about Jesus, we'll be here as well. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You for this moment. Thank You for the reminder that we're either missionaries or the mission field. Father, I pray that all those that come through MC3 would be missionaries. Lord, that we would share the love of Jesus with those around us, Father. For some, it may not feel like love right away, but in light of what You've done for us, in light of what could be in our future, it is love. Love is when the watchman stands on the wall and says, "Beware, here comes something bad." Lord, help us to be the watchman on the wall. Help us to proclaim the message of Jesus. That we proclaim it by what we say, and we proclaim it by how we live. And so bless us in this time, Father God, as we are reminded of what You've done for us and what we need to do for others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Won't you come? Communion is ready.